Drunk on Comics presents Drunk on Lawyers.
Yeah. This is we've been waiting for this for a while.
It's true. Yeah. Long time in the making.
Well, guys, Derek and Tony here with you at another one of our favorite watering holes.
PlayStation Pub. Mm-hmm. We like to sing a little karaoke.
We like to entertain for people.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not karaoke yet, but that'll be later on this evening. With us, we have some very special guests. We have Regina and Laura, who are attorneys.
So. That is true. We are with Jamorski and Wright. I'm the Wright in Jamorski and Wright.
Who's the wrong?
Andrea.
Andrea Jamorski is my law partner. Unfortunately, she wasn't able to make it this afternoon. And then Laura Joyce is our associate. We are a general practice law firm right in downtown Grand Rapids. We practice law in a variety of areas, criminal defense, family law, and then a handful of civil matters.
Well, and we talked a long time. It's probably been 6 months that we've been
at least
originally planning.
Trying to coordinate schedules.
Yes.
And yeah. It was going to happen in the summer, and then it didn't, and then...
yeah, now it is, and it's fabulous.
It's actually perfect timing, too, because if you guys listened to our podcast here this last weekend, then... You will know that
Derek would not shut up and he was giddy as all hell.
I'm still excited.
No shame.
Yeah. Well, okay, so let's start out, because one of the things that we talked about, discussing today was Matt Murdock being, a.k.a. Daredevil, being an attorney, and whether or not it violated any kind of code of ethics, because he's technically a vigilante and he's breaking the law, but yet he's also there to uphold the law, and he was actually disbarred. In the last issue that came out. So I guess that kind of does start us out, but let's say that he hadn't been. He has the superhero ability to, like, hear things with a radar sense, and he can actually tell when people are lying by their heartbeat. Does that violate any kind of code of ethics if somebody did have that ability?
I personally can't think of anything that would actually violate, because that's just a personal skill that you have. So it's not as if he's able to test or anything if these people are lying. He just knows, right, instinctively, just by his superpowers.
Yep.
So I don't think that is any more legitimate than somebody who might be able to read people really well. Some people are just better at reading people than others. So I can't imagine that that's actually a violation of any ethical code.
Well, what if it was a psychic?
Yeah, like Jean Grey or Professor X.
Where you, especially in criminal cases, where you dance that fine line is while you're presenting your case. So hypothetically, you're at trial, and you start talking about whether or not the witness is truthful in a closing statement or an opening statement. You know, if he were to get on the stand, or in his opening, say, so-and-so just testified to this, they're not reliable, they're not being honest because... of whatever reason, that's highly unethical, and you can't do that.
Right. I guess, yeah, to your point, I mean, you can know someone's lying all they want, but unless they're going to admit it out loud in open court, it doesn't matter how much you know they're lying, they have to say it out loud. So that's why I feel like it wouldn't be, because unless he's saying, well, I know he's lying because I can hear his heartbeat, you know.
What if you brought Professor X in as a expert witness on every trial, and he goes, yeah, he's lying. Could he do that?
Well, and that's been brought up a lot, because we have, in the real world, you know, there's polygraphs.
You mean superheroes aren't real?
Well, they are. I just don't, I'm not quite
sure. So dismissive, Regina.
I know, right? But, you know, you talk about a polygraph, and the results of a polygraph are inadmissible because...
it's an inherently unreliable test.
But now you're raising... I guess the standard of...
Polygraphs are all real because Moore uses them all the time.
Right, I mean, that's how hundreds of people know who their children are per year, but...
Yeah, so, okay, we've got a few other things. We'll kind of move off the Daredevil for right now. Tony, you had some questions you wanted to...
A big one, and actually my honest... after looking up and doing some research on it, my mind has actually changed on it, but it has to do with mutants. And as we all know, they're persecuted, they're this and that, and there's always been calls for mutant registration in comic books. How would that go? Would that be legal? Would that be... just all in all a bad idea? I mean, because that's like pretty much taking citizens and saying you have to then sign up for this and this and we're following you.
I would tend to agree with you that fundamentally there's that slippery slope. You know, just because you have a superpower or a special talent, you now have to register and record that. Well, are we going to ask people with brown hair to do that or blue eyes or something like that? It can get kind of away from you. And we talked a little bit about this with the 14th Amendment.
Yeah, because it would actually be a violation of like equal protection, which is what the 14th Amendment guarantees you. And so there's certain levels of classes is how you determine whether a law would be valid. So Regina and I talked earlier, and we decided that mutants would be an intermediate class of, so it's not immediately suspect, but it's not like, so like race and what else is immediately?
Origin, race.
Right. Alienage. That religion. Stuff is, yeah, that's like immediately suspect. So that means if the government wants to make a law that uses that as something that it considers, that it has, that meets a very, very high standard. Intermediate scrutiny is where we think mutants would be, and that's where, like that's gender is intermediate scrutiny also. So basically, in order to have a law like this, the government would have to prove that, like a registration law, the government would have to prove that it was significantly important to like a substantial government interest, which is just about as much bullshit as it sounds like. So the government would make the argument that these are potentially dangerous people and they have to be registered along with like their powers because we have to know what they're capable of at any given time. That would obviously be the government's argument. But of course, it's their argument to be made that it would be infringing on their rights as, you know, citizens.
And that's exactly what I was finding in my research, and what changed my mind a bit was, you know, laws are made for the betterment of society, not just this and that. And all it takes is a few bad guys that have powers to blow up some schools that you kind of start saying, all right, we need to register these people. And in the mindset, I feel bad for mutants in the real world, but at the same point, I think I might want to at least know who has what going on with them, because that's potentially hazardous all around.
Well, and it really comes down to, it's kind of the same thing of if you have to register, you know, weapons.
Right,
because
yep.
that the mutant powers that people are worried about, and I'm talking like it's real. but you know, what the people in the comics are always worried about are the powers that people have.
Right.
So, you know.
You're talking about the Second Amendment, though?
That's right, kind
bear
of...
arms?
Yep.
There's only a couple of superheroes that have bare arms, Derek.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and actually our buddy Chris Muse has a character who...
Has bare arms?
Yeah, yeah. It's a webcomic that he has. And he goes, I have the right to bear arms, and... There, he has bear arms. The grizzly bear arms. But yeah, so the whole thing though with mutants, the one question though that pops up, because mutants refer to themselves at least as being homo superior, technically they're not homo sapiens, so if they're homo sapiens being humans, homo superior being mutants, are they a different race or are they a different species?
But then I guess really, because it's not really a question of race or species when it comes to law, it's a question of citizenship. So if they're an American citizen, and I guess we're just going to blanket go on for America right now and not worry about the rest of the world at the moment.
So my pet monkey can be a citizen then?
I mean, I guess if we wanted to declare monkeys as citizens, we could.
Okay. That's the question you would have to ask yourself first, because dogs don't have rights to things,
right?
And humans do. So do you want to have that discussion? Are we going to talk about species, or are we going to talk about citizenship?
So, because to Regina's point, then I guess really the first question to ask overall is: are they even going to be considered citizens? Because if they are, then obviously they are able to have all the rights that are afforded to us as American citizens, us Homo sapiens. But if they're not going to be considered citizens, then
you
well,
Homo
just,
sapiens. I'm oh.
Something. Stop it.
I actually have to interject just for 1 second. This is hands down the most intelligent fucking podcast we've ever
done. Well, maybe we should start doing some shots.
Yeah. Bring it down a level.
Speaking of citizens and citizenship, Superman.
Okay, well, Regina and I also discussed this previous, so we're ready for the Superman question.
Yes.
Also.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I'll let our listeners know we actually provided you with material ahead of time.
Yes.
So that we could get a really fucking smart show.
And I did bring our law books to the bar.
Yep. So we were prepared.
They're present and in attendance.
And the Marvel and DC encyclopedias.
Those I left at home because if something happened to those, I'm pretty sure my husband would murder me almost instantaneously.
Which we do actually have to mention. We've had a co-host, fill-in guest host, a couple times, Chris the bartender, and that's actually Regina's husband.
Yep.
So this is a family show.
It is. So lovely.
Okay, so Superman. Tony, you want to run this one?
All right, so he's from a different planet. He's not a citizen, as far as anyone else knows. Clark Kent, kind of, because of the forged paperwork and stuff for him that the Kents did. Which...
In the old DC universe, they basically gave him world citizenship, but in the new 52, they haven't declared one way or the other.
What's world citizenship? Does that mean that all laws apply to him? Because that would be kind of sucky now if we realize what citizenship means.
Well, we learned words today. Well, no, because like in the old universe, he had world citizenship. So I'm wondering maybe if that means that he has diplomatic immunity everywhere, or yeah, if all laws apply to him. But we'll come back to that, the world citizenship, because that one, like, we didn't give you any prep on that one. I told you I wasn't going to give you everything. But so, is he technically an illegal alien if they have not granted him some kind of citizenship?
Derek, you know he's an alien, right?
Right.
So
this is he illegal?
Yeah.
Because the alien's going to be in there regardless.
Is he illegal?
Right. Well, this is what Regina and I talked about now. So, just so I can clarify, Superman was sent here by his parents, correct? He was a baby?
Right.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Is that accurate? Yeah. Okay. Well, then, we determined today that actually, so there is no, at this time in America, and again, sorry we're talking about America, but we're American lawyers, so deal with it, I guess.
Because we do have people that listen from all around the world, actually.
Okay, well, I'm sorry for other members of society that don't live in America, but...
Yeah, it's kind of like, she's basically saying piss off Canada.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Just,
so,
I'm over it.
Sorry, Canadian friends.
Anyway, and so in America right now, there is no real protection for people that were brought here by their parents illegally. Like, if you're from Mexico and you're 2 years old and your parents smuggle you across the border, you're still an illegal citizen. So the only, like, thing they have right now is an executive order that President Obama put in place, which would be that you can get employment authorization for 2 years. So Regina determined that...
Clark Kent could work at the Daily Planet for 2 years, and then he would have to take the citizenship exam.
We'll get the fuck out.
Or, bye.
But where do you deport him to?
I guess to...
Canada.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, to Antarctica. There's no one there to...
Yeah.
Say that he can't be there.
Well, he's already got that, like, whole, like, you
Doesn't
know,
have, like,
crystal
an ice
house
yeah,
or whatever,
there.
Yeah.
He's going to call it an ice palace, but that's probably not quite right.
The ice palace.
Yes. Is that why he wants to marry Lois Lane, then, to get citizenship?
Oh, my God. That's probably why. Poor Lois. She never knew.
She's getting used for a green card. It's like, oh, now, like, next Superman movie, screw it. They got to get rid of the current actor, and they got to get Gerard Depardieu back in there for the green card. And what the hell was Andy McDowell and Gerard Depardieu, that movie Green Card?
I haven't seen it.
No. Oh, it was
probably,
like,
before my time.
Yeah, it was. It was 90s.
1890 or 1890s.
Yeah. 1890s, yeah. It wasn't really a movie as much as it was a play. For you girls, the running joke is I'm old as dirt. So
it's not a joke when it's true.
I got dirt under my nails, older than you, son. All right, so let's kind of go back to the whole Daredevil thing in one aspect that we talked about.
God, I know you're going to come back to Daredevil.
Well, we talked about the fact that he's a vigilante, but mm-hmm. aren't all superheroes, or at least the majority of them, vigilantes? I mean, you look at Batman, you look at, you know...
Well, okay, sorry. I'm going to say Batman, I feel like, is different because he's usually called upon by the city to help, right? Does not the...
No, actually, yeah, because
the
light,
not
when
the
they
commissioner
shine the light, they're kind of
ask
playing.
For him?
And yeah, but see, now that... Okay, let's come back to that one.
Table that one.
Because And Batman may or may not fall into the same thing as like the Avengers, who are sanctioned by S.H.I.E.L.D., mm-hmm. aka deputized. But if we look at, you know, Ghost Rider, we look at, you know, like the Punisher being like the most, you know, the biggest vigilante mm-hmm. out there, where he actually goes and kills people. But most superheroes in general, and Spider-Man for years up until, you know, recently when he actually became part of the Avengers. Aren't all these people breaking the law? I mean, technically, all the X-Men, you know, working as a group, they're a team of vigilantes.
Breaking laws left and right.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't disagree. I think that's absolutely true, that they're technically criminals.
But is there something where, if they're doing stuff for the greater good, does that give them a free pass?
Well, defense of others?
Yeah. There is a defense of others that you can use when you get charged with a crime. And what are... You gave me the elements earlier.
Oh. It's just that you have to be acting in a reasonable manner under the, like, way you understand the situation as it's happening. So, for instance, if, like, you were chasing after somebody with a fake gun and you thought it was a real gun... Or actually, you could never be chasing after them. Just, never mind, that's not a thing. You can't be the initial aggressor. So if somebody's coming after you with a fake gun and you shoot them, and then you find out later it's a fake gun, that doesn't mean you get in trouble because it was fake. It's like, because you were under the impression that you were in some sort of deadly danger. Mm-hmm. So,
almost had some alcohol, please.
So basically, you just have to make sure you act in a reasonable way that is not disproportionate to what's happening. So, you can't, if somebody's running around slapping people, you can't go and slice their throat. Like, it has to be a proportional response.
So when you're fighting super villains, though, then that means your powers can't come out because they're proportional?
Yeah, as long as it's proportional, yeah. And as long as you're not the one escalating the situation, that's the other important thing to remember. You can't start it, and you can't be the one that escalates it. You have to be reasonably responding to what's happening to you.
Okay.
And one thing that also acts as a safeguard for vigilantes are places that have a citizen's arrest, and if these vigilantes are witnessing a felony being committed, like, in their presence right then and there, then I think you can make a sound argument that they're able to use reasonable force to arrest or confine these criminals.
Yeah. But in no way, like, the Punisher kills people.
Yeah, and the Punisher actually seeks people out to kill bad people.
In no way is that okay. That's not a thing that can happen.
It makes for great stories.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Well, going back to the Batman thing, so since he gets called upon, is he kind of deputized then? To be doing this?
Yeah, and then you look into, there's a Michigan statute, right? That
In Michigan, if a peace officer asks you to do something to pursue an arrest, that qualifies as a citizen's arrest. So when that bat signal goes up,
he gets a fucking hall pass.
Yeah, because he's acting with the authority of the Gotham City government, I guess. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, because I was always curious.
It's his defense attorney. That's what I'd be arguing.
That's what I'd be saying, too. And he knows Bruce Wayne can pay, so I'd have him as a client anyway.
Oh, my God, a client that pays on time?
Yeah.
And keep him on retainer. That would be odd. Okay, so now here's a question. Let's just take, you know, random superhero. He goes out and, well, actually, let's take Batman, because we kind of talked about the Joker here. The Joker has no known identity, therefore has no assets, at least legally.
Mm-hmm.
Joker goes out and he starts blowing up buildings and this and that. Batman comes in and they have a big street brawl and there's shit blown up all over. Who has to pay for it? Who has to pay for the damages?
Well, if you're talking about, like, a civil action, each of those property owners should have their own insurance for that property. And then it's up to them whether or not that policy covers them. If you're talking about, you know, switching gears and going into a criminal setting, you know, oftentimes as part of a criminal case, you're ordered to pay restitution. Or certain crimes have, like, specific damages that defendants have to pay back. Same problem that drug dealers face. I mean, nobody's saying anything. They don't own anything. They don't know anybody. They're not related to anybody. So you're left to your own PI work and investigative resources, as far as the government's concerned, to recoup
So is it ultimately going to be, like, you know, I mean, the insurance companies that are going to...
Ultimately, yeah. And I think, especially with Batman particularly, is that since he is technically, like, now that we've determined that he's technically, like, a sanctioned, you know, member of the government for whatever he's doing, I mean, the government has tremendous immunity when it comes to what they're doing to reasonably, like, you know, protect people. And so I think it would be difficult for a private citizen to, like, take on the Gotham City government to cover their private damage that they suffered at the hands because of this, you know, street fight. Or
although
whatever.
Bruce Wayne does rebuild Gotham all the time.
Crazy, you know, so, you know, he knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's fixing his own damage there.
Yeah.
Move down the street a couple blocks.
So yeah. Now, here's a better one, though. With the Avengers, you know, and we can even look at the movie. You know, New York gets just demolished, but they are part of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, is it the government's responsibility, then, to pay for those damages?
I think you run into the same problem, and the government's going to argue every single time that they were acting in a reasonable way, and they were acting with the best interest of the city, and blah, 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 blah. So, every time that happens, the government's going to say, listen, it's not our fault, because we were just trying to protect you, people. Like, don't you understand? And so, I don't think it would be a successful suit against the government, even though they may technically be responsible. I don't think it'd be successful.
Either way, it's all coming out of our pockets, whether it's our insurance right. premiums well, go up or our taxes.
Exactly, and that's what, right, so then the government has a large insurance premium they have to pay, so guess whose taxes go up to pay for it? I mean, mm-hmm. you know.
Or they have the super mutant that can turn shit into gold, and there it's all paid for.
Yeah, but then doesn't, but yeah, but then gold inflation. Loses its value. It's kind of like printing more money.
Yeah, true. Well, there is something, though, for listeners and should read if they're interested in some of the side effects of the damage from it. It's called Damage Control. It's the fictional construction company that appears in Marvel Comics. They specialize in...
Did you say fictitional?
Yeah.
Fictional?
Yes.
Or fictitious. And fictitious.
It's
very fake. It's what he's trying to say.
It's a 2-for-1 special.
It's really, it's definitely not real.
It's fictional and fictitious.
Just not real at all.
It's an amalgamation and a mix-up.
There's been 4 limited series of it, and all of it, it's kind of talking about how they repair the property damage caused from the conflicts of it. So it is good reading. It's interesting to kind of see that they do talk about it a bit, but when you're really reading a comic book, this giant mind, you know, explosion, changing world event thing happened, and then there's another one, and then there's another one. Why the fuck do people live in New York anymore? I don't know.
Or because, Gotham or Metropolis.
Yeah, anywhere, right. really, yeah. with superheroes. I would be in fucking...
Grand Rapids, Michigan?
Yeah. Well, of course, there is the Great Lakes Avengers.
Yeah, there were...
Oh.
Yeah, they were terrible.
Oh,
like,
okay.
I mean, like... all they fought were potholes.
The only thing that came from...
And not very successfully, I guess.
Squirrel Girl came from that, though.
Yeah.
So that's the most famous of them all.
Well, they used to be successful, but they're no longer there, which is why our potholes are as bad as they are.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay, yeah. All right. Yeah. It's coming together.
It's that time of year for us. It's pothole season.
Yep.
We kind of talked, you know, about, like, when you have cities like Metropolis and Gotham and New York City, where all this shit happens. In a situation like that, the average person, if they're trying to escape danger, do pretty much all laws go out the window? Like, I mean, like, can they bust into a place to, like, get themselves to safety?
I guess it all depends on, I think technically no, but I mean, like, is a prosecutor going to go after you because you broke into a building to, like, shield yourself from, like, a meteor or... what have you. Like, I don't think so.
I don't think the building's going to save you from a meteor, but all right.
All right, you know. Science is not my forte. Okay.
But laser eyes? Yeah, you get away from laser
right,
eyes.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I mean, I think, you know, one of the old, like, law school, you know, hypotheticals that you always got was, like, if you're wandering in the woods and you're freezing to death and you find a cabin and it's empty and you go in, like, are you committing a crime? Well, yeah, technically, you still are because you're breaking and entering. But, again, it's like, is somebody going to prosecute you for that? No.
Well, the problem you would run into is if you're in an area that has a Good Samaritan law, because then you're screwed.
What? Yeah.
Good Samaritan law. There are some states, we don't have one.
We have Stand Your Ground, not Good Samaritan.
No. some states where if you see somebody in trouble or in distress and you don't help, you can be held accountable for that.
Yeah.
Did you watch the last Seinfeld? So they got put in jail for that.
Oh,
in the
yeah.
great state of Michigan, we don't have that at all.
No. Shoot first.
Yeah.
So that would be an interesting dynamic to that question, because to your point, if laser eyes is burning up buildings left and right, and somebody doesn't let you in, did they violate that their duty as a good Samaritan to help you?
Yeah.
One of the things within most comic books are groups, and not just the good guys, but the bad guys. There's groups like the Sons of the Serpent, who are pretty much blatantly a white supremacy group. There's the Brotherhood of Mutants and stuff. Are all these hate groups, or all these groups considered hate groups?
Upon seeing that question, I actually looked up Michigan's hate crime statute, and the state would have to prove that you intentionally sought this person out for a protected reason. Race, class, gender, something like that. So the first hurdle that specifically mutants would have to get over is they would have to be defined as a protected class. If they're not, then they're screwed.
Yeah.
So if they're trying to say that they're just like everyone else and they're not a protected class, what if they said, but we will register, would that make them a protected class?
I think it enhances the argument because,
so
you know,
they could be good for registering them?
Would definitely afford them a level of protection.
But on the flip side, though, you've got the Brotherhood of Mutants, which was originally called the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, which doesn't make sense. Nobody calls themselves evil. but you have this group where basically they are all for more or less getting rid of humans or making them a subclass, because mutants are the homo superior, and they want... humans would also have to register themselves as a protected class.
Well, in that comparison, though, I think you could compare it to, like, guys versus girls. You can't... If I'm going to beat you up specifically because you're a girl, well, now I enter into that realm of protected class. If I'm going to beat you up specifically because I'm a mutant and you're a human, I think you could make that leap, that same comparison.
Yeah, I think so.
But what if the defense was... has nothing to do with the fact that he's human. He's just a douchebag.
Honestly, being douchebags,
lock me up
because
I would actually like to see that as a defense.
Yeah, Your Honor, my client's a douchebag. It's just
the victim is a douchebag.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Not guilty.
Switching gears to something that we didn't kind of pre-talk, but just to bring it up, criminals, especially superhero criminals, not even getting into their trials or whatever, but the ramifications from those trials, should they be put to death? Is there, obviously different states consider those, you know, differently, but would they be able to be fast-tracked to the death row? Like, should they be sitting in prison where we all know a week later they're getting, you know, taken out of prison and running havoc?
Well, it is interesting to see what the government would have to do to keep them confined.
I was saying, like, you'd have to have some sort of special jail situation, right? Because you couldn't put, I don't know, Magneto in jail, right? Because couldn't he just...
Well, he's in a bubble jail, that's Plastic.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right.
Come on. What is this?
Yeah. No, he's out. He's actually not even the worst one anymore. Yeah, but we'll talk.
But I mean, I guess the question is that, like, is there an expedited process to, like, kill someone faster because they pose a greater danger? I would say at this time, I don't think so. Otherwise...
they always get out.
Yeah. Especially, like, in America. I'm not saying that... Like, I think in America, no, but, like, elsewhere, yes, probably. It could probably happen. I don't know, they killed Saddam Hussein pretty fast in Iraq. I don't think that's a very long
Would these criminals, because it's all hypothetical stuff. Obviously, you know, everyone should be able to have equal representation. But would there be a time where this is the fifth time you blew up New York? Who's going to represent you? Like, how do you see how that would be weird?
I mean, everyone's entitled to a zealous defense no matter the crime, no matter how many times they've committed it. So, you know, it'd just be, if they keep letting somebody out after they keep blowing up New York, I guess that's on New York, right?
Yeah.
So,
they gotta get a handle on their bar.
Right? They gotta figure out what's going on because they gotta, so, you know, obviously the punishment should be harsher, but that should would in no way affect your ability to be represented or have representation.
Speaking of punishment, and once again, nothing that we've prepped you with on this one, but Spider-Man in particular. You know, he goes out and he sees guys doing muggings and robbing and this and that. And he goes out and he witnesses it, catches them, stops them, and then hangs them from a light pole wrapped up in webbing for the cops to come get. Now, two parts. Number one, is that cruel and unusual punishment? Uh-huh. And number two, where, like, how do they prosecute him? Because he's not going to go to court and testify.
Right. You just blew my mind with this question. I would say, first and foremost, cruel and unusual punishment is is only for people in prison. So it's not actually something a private citizen can claim. It's actually an amendment that was written specifically for people that are incarcerated. So it wouldn't necessarily apply yet in this situation. However, you bring up a very good point as to what probable cause does a cop have to arrest somebody who's just hanging from a light post covered in webbing?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you're committing a crime.
Little note that just says, from your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Right. Like, now that you say that, all these arrests should be completely invalid because, like, where are these lawyers?
Well, unless he left, like, you know, back in the day, he'd set his camera up, you know, to catch pictures of himself. So unless he's actually getting photos of this guy committing a crime, where's the evidence?
Well, and then as said criminal's defense attorney, I would ask you to authenticate those photos, meaning you'd have to get Spider-Man in court to testify. And guess what happens when he doesn't show up? Dismissed.
Right? Basically what I'm just learning here is that Spider-Man just be subpoenaed all the time. Like, he should be in court every day, apparently testifying that he saw this stuff
and
happen.
And he's like, you didn't send it to my right address. I mean,
there's just no way.
Process server, worst assignment ever.
Yeah.
But you start thinking about it, every superhero, I mean, all the Avengers is part of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, all these criminals that they're catching, they still have to go to trial.
I have read, and I forget which one, but there was something where they mentioned I got to go to trial for something. It was a quick line, and I thought that was just brilliant genius that they at least mentioned it once. But yeah, you're right. They don't have time to be superheroing about when they have all these court things.
The Avengers seem like, since they are sanctioned by a government entity, like, they probably have it more together than just, like, Spider-Man, who just watches things happen and then catches criminals and makes essentially his little citizens arrest.
Yeah, but I mean, Batman would be
fuck Spider-Man. I'm pissed at him. Like,
But I mean, Batman would be the same way. I mean, because technically, as it being sanctioned by the police force, the arresting officer has to show up to your trial, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So, you know, it like, seriously, like, calling next to the stand, Batman. I'm Batman.
Do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Swear to me.
So most...
that was so perfect. I'm glad you just said that.
Most, obviously, fighting and everything happens on Earth. What about when it happens up on the moon? Or in a space station? Or out there? How does law apply?
I don't know if there's space law yet. though I think I just found my new area of practice. No.
Or you do the Charlie from the Always Sunny in Philadelphia and become an expert in bird law.
Exactly. I think that's an interesting question. I don't know. Like, I would think that, like, on the International Space Station, I don't know how law works up there. I don't know. Like, if they have some sort of, like, whoever built it is the law that governs, or, you know, that's honestly something I don't know the answer to.
Yeah, something like if an astronaut killed another astronaut up there.
Right. I guess you'd have to go with, I mean, probably, like, the Hague Convention, right? I mean, that's probably the last thing we have to rely on as far as, like, international understandings of law goes. Probably have to go with, the Hague Convention was, like, a diplomatic agreement from who knows when.
Can the UN prosecute people?
No, but there is the Hague now has, like, the International Criminal Court, so they actually can. Yeah. I mean, there is a place to prosecute international crime, but I don't know. Space? I don't know. But I figure space would be the same as Earth, like, as far as the way, I don't know. Who knows?
Well, we put a flag on it, so I'm just assuming we own it.
Is that how it works?
In the Disney movies, that's how it works, at least.
One of the other things that we had thought about is there's a lot of comics that take place in post-apocalyptic worlds. Walking Dead being probably the most easily well-known. In a situation like that, when the government falls, do all laws pretty much go out the window because there's nothing there to enforce.
It's upsetting. If there's no one to enforce it, then yep. I mean, who's if there's no one enforcing it, then I guess you can do whatever you want, really.
So let's say that we're a little band of survivors, us and the, you know, and our, you know, 20 other good friends that we don't know, but they're in here, yeah, in this bar. Is there a good way that you would suggest of kind of like restarting laws, or would you, as attorneys who make your money off of law, in a world where it's all about survival, would you say that we should reinstitute laws or just general concepts?
That's a good question.
It is.
You ready for a refill, my dear?
Yes, please. Yes. The problem that you run into is you are going to essentially have to get your band of survivors to buy what you're selling. I mean, I could...
George Washington did it. I could do it.
Well, there you go. I mean, Abe Lincoln killed vampires and freed the slaves, so...
Right.
Come on.
I saw that documentary.
Yeah. Gripping. I don't know where its Oscar went. But that's, I mean... Not to get, like, too existential with it, but that's, I mean, that's essentially what you're talking about, is we have the Constitution, and the only reason why it has any validity is because we have people that believe enough in it to enforce it. So right. Now it's that on a smaller scale. I mean, in our post-apocalyptic community, we could make it a law that you can only wear black and white stripes, yeah, and that kind of thing, but if nobody's into it, there's nothing I can do about it.
Well, and you're wearing black and gray stripes, so you already broke the law.
I know.
Citizens arrest, Tony. Citizens arrest.
Damn it.
I would say, like, this has always been my idea apocalypse scenario, because I have no practical skills whatsoever, so I assumed I would always just lay low until people were like, you know, we could really use a government again. I'd be like, hey, guys, I'll help you figure it out.
I'm really good.
And at what point would we stop listening to government? Let's say there is one... still about, and let's say there were more isolated cities instead of like the whole world blew up, but Grand Rapids still here, Detroit's still there, Chicago's still there, the big ones are still working. Would we still be able to just break off and say we're our own thing? Or would we still have to follow the national laws?
Well, I mean, I guess, again, it comes down to...
You're a big constitution nerd, so...
Well, I know. Well, I mean, in, you know, I think...
Sit back
also,
for these ones.
Well, you talked about, I mean, it's about maybe like, suspending the Constitution, like, in times of emergency, which has never happened in the United States, but has happened elsewhere. I mean, that is a thing that can happen. Kind of like martial law situations. But, I mean, you're talking about, like, if there's some sort of, like, huge apocalypse, and there's only pockets of government that still exist, and no main... any something running everything anymore, you know, I guess you can do what you want, really, but you just have to, I mean, if they have more guns than you, I guess you're going to jail. You know what I mean? I just, in a situation like that, it could be hard to say, like, what laws you have to follow, because you'd be in a completely different scenario. I don't know.
So, let's talk zombies here for a moment.
Perfect. I hate them, but let's do it.
Well
they terrify me.
Okay. Zombies... really, it's a question of what they are. Because...
they're undead, Derek.
But are they still human? Or not?
Well,
because now it's a question of, yeah, if they're coming after you to try and kill you, that's one thing. But if they're just roaming around and you're popping them in the head because, you know, they could potentially kill you. Yep. Let's just say the government's still going and we got zombies. Could you be prosecuted for killing zombies?
Well, this is the snafu that you're going to run into, is especially in, specifically in Michigan, we have a statute that says you can't desecrate a dead body.
That's true. That is true. So,
and people have been very recently prosecuted for it, so you essentially have a protected class of dead people that you can't desecrate.
That is fantastic.
But to that end, I think it's like a 2-year felony. I mean, if that.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
So, life against 2 years. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, you want to take a 2-year felony so you can, you know, shoot a zombie in the head? All right.
Yeah.
Well,
when you get
a good defense attorney, we'll get you probation and pay you fines. Bye. Don't do it again.
But, okay, is it 2 years for each? Or just blank 2 years?
I'm sure we could get your sentences to run concurrently. I wouldn't worry about it. Sure, we can handle it.
And if it is the zombie apocalypse, I would wager that we would come up with some sort of, like, deferral dismissal statute.
Right.
So that as long as you...
only did, like, one zombie, or, like, six at a time or
something.
Or
wasn't that bad.
Right.
You completed probation,
right,
it'd get dismissed.
Yeah. Right, we've got this handled. We can be zombie apocalypse lawyers now.
Perfect. You
right after space law.
Yes. So what I'm seeing is a zombie apocalypse survival kit that has, you know, it's got all of your needed food and water, you know, a ball bat, an axe, whatever you may need, and then your business card.
Yep.
And a retainer agreement.
You just described a dream that I didn't even know I had. But yes, that's exactly what I wanted it to be.
Oh, that's fantastic. One other question: we did talk a little bit about the hate groups.
Mm-hmm.
The Purifiers, which is a group that is out to basically wipe out mutants. They base it on religion. Basically, that mutants are an abomination, and that God has called them to wipe them out. Could they use their religion as a defense?
Well, I guess it depends on. I mean, are we saying, like, if they killed a mutant, would they be able to use the fact that they believe this religiously as a defense?
That to them, it says in the Bible that they have to do this.
Right. I don't think that there's been an instance in which religious freedom has ever been used to excuse murder. I'm sure it's been tried, but I don't know if it's ever been to any rate of success.
Well, and get ready for a competency exam.
Yeah.
And the joys that go along with insanity issues.
Yeah. Because I don't think that you could ever argue that your religious freedom... Because... Yeah. I don't see a scenario in which you can argue that your religious freedom is what precludes you from being prosecuted for murder. Because it's still murder. And because this is... Okay. Now it's coming together. This is why. Because there can't be... The law, the government can't make a law that, you know, infringes on your right to practice religion. Okay, so that's fact. But the laws they do make that do infringe upon it, or could infringe upon it, they have to meet the strict scrutiny standard, which means it has to be substantially related to an important government interest. I don't think there is an argument that can be made that a law against murder is not substantially related to a significant government interest. I mean, obviously you're trying to protect people from dying. So, even if it does impugn on your religious freedom, it's still a valid law under the Constitution.
Alright. Here's another one of those, like, and I don't know how quite to phrase the question except for how it is. Pretty much a lot of superheroes unintentionally break stuff, but as in break, like, the time-space continuum and everything, they can destroy all of reality. Should those people be held accountable for their negligence? I mean, not just even damaging, as we said, the government, this and that, but should superheroes that are pretty much almost bringing about the end of the world somehow be prosecuted?
Well, if it's the end of the world, I don't really know if he's going to prosecute them.
But, well, it always gets...
Or Band of Survivors!
Oh, that's right, that's right.
I would say that... I think it would go again back to, like, the how they're acting, is if they're acting as a private citizen or if they're acting as an arm of the government. And if they're going to act as an arm of the government, the government's going to protect them as much as they can from any sort of civil lawsuit for negligence or whatever. I mean, that's what the government's going to be like, no, they were acting in your best interest. But if it's a private citizen, I think, yeah, I mean, obviously you can be held responsible for any sort of crazy shit you do. I mean, you know,
well,
you can't
then
just go around.
I would wager that if it's a private citizen and you're in, like, civil court, now your standard is gross negligence.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to save the whole world, that plaintiff's going to have a hard time meeting that burden, because it's high.
Yeah, I guess we'll say that. It's not impossible, but it'd be hard.
Are you going to get named in a complaint? Probably.
Yes.
Are you going to have to pay any dollars?
No, because I don't think a jury's going to convict you for trying to save their lives. So,
here's one more question that I've gotten. I think this is probably my last question. With the whole thing of, you know, the government basically getting all of our cell phone information and all that.
Yeah.
And whether or not that's a breach of our privacy. People like the Oracle in DC Comics, who go out there and they search and they get all this information on quote-unquote criminals. If Batman is being called upon by the law to go out and help out, and the Oracle is helping him, are there laws being broken there?
So are you saying that the Oracle has helped? Does Batman ask the Oracle to help him?
Yeah, Batman goes and asks the Oracle for information, or the Oracle sometimes says, hey, I found this. The Oracle's basically a giant fucking hacker, okay. in my opinion, who just sits there and, you know, gets information, but not necessarily sanctioned by the government.
Right. Well, and I think that's the important distinction to make, because it's important to remember that, like, constitutional rights and stuff apply only to government actors. So, it just, if a private company wants to infringe on your constitutional right to free speech, like, they're allowed to, because it's a private company. The only people who aren't allowed to, like, laws that can't be made are... Governments can't make laws like that. So if this Oracle is not sanctioned by the government necessarily, then I would say, yeah, that would probably all be...
Well, the other thing you have to keep in mind, too, is what records is the Oracle hacking into? Because if... So let's say the Oracle thinks that you're committing, like, bank fraud or something, and she hacks into the bank's financial records
yeah.
and not yours... That defendant, that criminal, has no standing to challenge that search. I mean,
right.
it's they don't have standing to argue that you can't infringe upon a third party's privacy rights.
Right. And to that end, if it's not a state actor, if the Oracle's not a state actor, then they're not subject to the same.
But if the Oracle is working for the state, city,
yep.
government,
yep.
whatever, doesn't she have to have a warrant?
Yeah, well, then I would say then definitely the Fourth Amendment applies. It doesn't mean that she has to have a warrant. There are certain recognized exceptions to having a search warrant. But for the most part, yes, a warrant would be necessary.
But
there's
it
like
would have
six
to be
exceptions or something.
That criminal's records.
Right.
Which is the other thing.
Right.
Is, you know, a lot, especially in when you're hacking into things, you're looking for information that the record holder doesn't, or that the defendant doesn't have.
Yeah.
I mean, if you wanted to know if I was, like, looking up bomb recipes, you're going to pull my library records. I can't challenge you violating the library's
right.
information.
Correct, right. It has to be your privacy that's
yeah.
violated.
All right. Well, my final question then, as there, and it just is law in general, we have city laws, we have county laws, state laws, federal laws, going on up. And then I would say maybe UN world laws or something that we all recognize. In superhero world, especially Marvel Universe, there are many different intergalactic empires, some of which claim Earth as their in their realm there. And let's just say the Shi'ar as one of them. Are we subjugate to their laws?
The problem is when they come to get you. You know, it... And you see this happening on an international level all the time. I violated the law of this intergalactic place.
I do it all the time. Yeah,
right?
That one.
Right? If nobody from the United States is sending me over there,
yeah.
I'm going to continue to do it. Now, are they going to come to Grand Rapids to come get me and then take me with them? Well, now I'm up the creek.
Why'd you have to tell them where we're at?
Sorry.
Like, twice now. No.
I mean, worst criminal ever.
Flint. Yeah.
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 Detroit.
They're going to have to get us Flint.
And I would say, to add to that, it's also like, it's, you're only subject to somebody else's law if you acquiesce to them. I mean...
If you huh?
If you submit to their law, right? I mean, so if some intergalactic, you know, empire says, P.S. Earth is subject to our laws, and we're like, fuck you, no, we're not, then fuck you, no, we're not. Like, I mean, you have to agree to be... I mean, really, we're all only bound by law because we all agree to be, right? So, I mean... That's the only way that we would be able to be subject to some random outside person's laws.
Cool. All right, well, my brain hurts.
This is way more thinking than I've done all year.
All year? All of your years. Well, Laura and Regina, thank you so much. This was hellaciously fun. And I can't get over the zombie. Like, I'm a little concerned now when zombie apocalypse comes. What about Ohio? Do they have the same law about desecrating a dead body?
Couldn't tell you. But I think they're probably kind of, like, I would bet they're nationwide. I think that's pretty much standard.
California might not.
Yeah. Arizona, they're fucked there. Who knows? You can probably go there and do whatever the hell you want.
What about, maybe we should go to Canada. Maybe they don't have it.
Oh, yeah.
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 Well, you would want to double check to see if they do have one, and then what's going to happen with Justin Bieber, because maybe that could be...
I thought he was a zombie. Shit.
Oh, you shouldn't have killed him then. No.
No, he was a zombie. Yeah. He just, I mean, can't you tell? All right, well, I think that's going to do it for this special edition of Drunk on Comics, Drunk on Lawyers.
Yes, I can't wait till we come up with more questions to ask these fine ladies again.
Yeah.
Love it. Well, thank you.
I think maybe an every 6 month update.
Let's start planning now for 6 months.
Actually, one of the things that I would at some other point like to talk about, because I don't have enough information to talk properly, and I forgot to like give you information ahead of time on it, is there is an organization which is fantastic called the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, mm-hmm. which, from my understanding, goes out there and it helps protect not only copyrights but freedom of speech and all these other things.
Right.
I'd love to actually get into that at some point.
We would love that.
Yeah, that'd be very cool.
And then one other thing too, maybe we'll if you've got a quick answer, cool. The word superhero. The actual word, no spaces, is copyrighted and owned by both Marvel and DC simultaneously. Now, basically, they proved that that word was used years before either company existed. And as a copyright or trademark, how can two companies own it? Because it doesn't seem like they should be able to.
No, it doesn't. It seems like there must have been some messy work at the trademark office. I mean, how?
They went together and owned it because
they went together. So they owned. So they filed for it together.
Yes.
Okay.
That was when they were friends.
Well, yeah. I mean,
before the divorce.
But I find it very interesting though that how can you copyright a word that number one you didn't create because it's been proven ahead of time, and the reason that this comes out is that. If you use the word superhero in a comic or anything else, there have been 30-some lawsuits in the last I don't know how many years.
Fuck, our asses are getting sued then.
Yeah, but we aren't using it to make money.
Oh.
You know. But if you use it like in a comic book, like, you know, like Superheroes Deluxe, issue 1, Marvel and DC will come after you and sue you.
Absolutely, they will.
How long have they had the trademark, do you know?
I don't. We may
we'll discuss this.
Okay, all right.
next drunk time.
Okay.
Same drunk channel.
Well, like any good lawyer, we're going to tell you. Well, it depends.
Yeah, exactly. We'll just leave it at that. It depends.
It depends.
It depends.
It's going to take you at least an hour to talk about this. And actually, oh shit, we better wrap this up because I'm not paying for a full fucking hour. All right, ladies, thank you again.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right.
Listeners, make sure to check us out on Twitter, on Facebook, on our webpage, and download us there. Download us on iTunes, and if you already listened to this, you already did, so thank you.
Yeah, court dismissed.
I like it.